You have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. We'll get into Acts chapter 5 as well as we get in the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You can close that door, Ron. I was listening this morning to worship when I get ready in the shower. I'm shaving. I'm just got the radio going, and sometimes I just drop everything and just praise the Lord. And there's a song, "Who the Sun Sets Free." Oh, he is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there is a place for me. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you, Lord, say that I am. You are for me, and you're not against me. And I am who you say I am. Who will the Son set free? He is free indeed. I am a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? That we're not children of the Lord because we're good. We have been redeemed because he's so good. And he loves you. And he loves those who don't know him yet. And you know, Jesus, when he was going to leave, he knew he was going to die on the cross, go to the Father. And he prays, but he doesn't pray that God would take us out of the world, but he prayed for that God would protect us while we're in the world, and yet he also prayed for those who had come to know him through our messages. What is our message? The gospel, the word of God. And so, if you've been with us through the book of Acts, we see that Peter and John have been arrested. What was their charge? They healed someone in the name of Jesus. What was the issue that they healed him? No, Jesus was the issue. Jesus will always be the issue in the Christian's life. Jesus will always be the issue in the world. There'll be opposition in the name of Jesus. He promised persecution for those who believe. And yet we still get so worried about when something happens in our life. Oh no, I can't believe this. No, believe it. He told you. And it comes in all different ways. It happens at work, things are going great at home, then things are going bad at home, and then things are going great at work. He'll try to do everything Satan he can to distract. His plan? Divide, conquer, and destroy. And so they stand with bold faith. Why are they bold? They've received the power of the Holy Spirit that was promised. Go and wait, and you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Not power just to do miracles, but to preach the good news of the gospel, to speak the name of Jesus in public. Now, good for our perspective, living in America, you talk about Jesus, you may get your feelings hurt, right? Somebody will call you a Bible thumper or get lost, right? But in their day, in other places in the country, you'll be beheaded. John the Baptist represented Christ. And although the excuse was that he challenged the leader, he was beheaded for Christ. He became the first martyr that we see in the scriptures. And so now they're dragged through these trials. God has given them power to speak boldly. Verse 31 shows us the results. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is their gifting. God had equipped them with the Spirit of God. And it shows, as a believer, we can be refilled. Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? We get distracted. We have things in our life that really take us away from the service of God. Or we forget sometimes to go before the Lord in prayer and pray for God's will to be done. And be filled with the Spirit, because he tells us to die to self daily. Pick up your cross daily. Now why does he tell us to do that? Because if I die to myself, then I could live for him. And what is he talking about, die to self? He's talking about your sinful nature. Not don't feed yourself or anything like that. Your sinful nature is always in conflict with the Spirit. Back and forth, right? All the time, no matter who you are. In fact, Jesus was tempted, right? For 40 days, Satan was tempting him. But he is great and never sinned. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came in the flesh. And so they're speaking in the name of Jesus. Have you been challenged this week to speak in the name of Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to talk about the good news of the gospel? Have you asked somebody just a simple, hey, what church do you go to? That opens up the door for many conversations, or not. Now, you've heard me say, I've asked people when I see strangers, many times I'll say, hey, Jesus is coming, you ready? And sometimes they'll smile and say, yeah, and sometimes they'll turn around and walk the other way. Right? What is the issue, me or Jesus? I wear cologne. It's probably not me. It's Jesus, right? And so Jesus will be the issue in your ministry. The world will reject it, but in the world there'll be those who will come to know him through your message, through your bringing the good news of the gospel. These things, what things? The Bible has been written so that we would know. We would know. So here they've been empowered with the Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. This is obedience to God. Jesus had told them to go and make disciples. He told them to make disciples, followers of him, teaching them everything that he taught us. Well, how do we know what Jesus taught? It's in the Bible. He wrote it down for us. We have it right before us, right? It's not that we don't know. We know. And we're to then pass the message on. And so in Romans 8, Paul tells us how a life filled with the Holy Spirit is empowered by the Spirit. He intercedes on our behalf. And he groans for us. There's a purpose in our life. The Holy Spirit intercedes, prays on our behalf to Jesus. He directs and testifies to us. You ever feel like, oh man, am I a believer? Now, where did that thought come from? Well, you might not be a believer, right? I'm not going to answer that for you. But many times Satan will have you doubt, right? Is this true? Am I a believer? Is this all real? How come then nobody else is believing this? That comes from Satan. What did Satan do in the beginning? In the very beginning, what did he do? He caused Eve to doubt and deny. What? What was the doubt and deny? Doubt what God said and deny. Surely you won't die, right? You could eat of the fruit and surely, did God say, and surely you won't die. To doubt and deny what God had said. And this is why we study the scriptures and we get deep into them. The Holy Spirit empowers us and anoints us for his service. And we all have butterflies. I mean, this is the worst thing in the world for most people to come up in a public setting and speak. Now, every time I come up here, I'm nervous. I have butterflies. That's the physical. Everything about my body does not want me preaching. But we can overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we're serving God in this fallen body, in this fallen world, and there will be opposition, guaranteed. And so now, well, let's pick it up where we left off in verse 32 in Acts chapter 4. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Stop right there. One heart and one soul. They had been brought before the council. They had been let go. They prayed to God for empowerment, to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. And the multitudes of people who believed, they all were of one heart and one spirit. Regarding, listen, the things of God. Now, we can disagree on many things in life, but we have to agree on the good news, the text, the scriptures, the Bible. Now, we're so divided in so many different ways, in color, race, money, whatever football team you're for, whether you watch football or hockey, we're divided everything. Well, we can't be divided in the things of God. And Satan would want that. Be on guard. Beware. That's his goal, to divide, to conquer, and destroy relationships. He doesn't want this in the church. Now, he doesn't show up in the church wearing a pitchfork, right? He doesn't do that. He shows up as an angel of light. We're going to talk about that because he realizes that in the world, he's not going to do very much work. He's going to do his work. This is what the world does. The world sins. The world acts the way it is. This is what the world does. Can't expect that much out of it. But we got to get in the church and we got to mess up the doctrine and the loyalty to the Lord. And we need to divide the people. This is his plan. So here, they're one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were in possessions of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them each as one had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, he's a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why would such a thing happen? Well, remember, they were outcasts now following Jesus. Jesus, 50 days out, we don't know how long from here now, 50 days out, the apostles are empowered with the Holy Spirit. Thousands of people are now coming to Christ. The Jewish leadership wanted them to be silenced. They tell them, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. They're going to be arrested again. And so now they're outcasts. They're followers of Christ. Sometimes you ever feel like an outcast? You go to work, all excited. You've been listening to the word. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're praying that, singing that on the way to work, and you get to work, and everything changes. You're an outcast. They know you're a believer. The conversation changes, or it's silence. You walk in, everybody beats quiet, right? Nobody says a word. And then they'll start targeting you, saying jokes. Oh, the Bible thumper's here. Well, that's what I went through. When I went to work, I got saved on a Wednesday night service. I come back the next day all excited about the Lord, and I began to tell people about my experience, and man, that was it. They all turned on me. Now they're not asking you to go to lunch. You're not getting invited to the parties. You're excluded from the conversations. What changed? Jesus. Jesus was the change in my life, and they rejected me as a result of Jesus. And so this is why they had to sell everything. There were people in need, the people that weren't working. We have a benevolence ministry. We don't have any money. This is a small church. But a benevolence ministry would help people who need money or resources and such. And so they create this gathering together of the goods to help one another. And this sets up for chapter 5. This should have actually been in chapter 5. You know, in the original writings, there was no paragraphs and there was no commas and everything. Everything was just written in language. But they, some reason, separated this here. So it sets us up for chapter 5. Believers were so united they began to voluntarily sell and share. Three keys about this: they were believers, only those who are regenerated. I am redeemed, I have been set free, and now I live for Jesus Christ. Now my desire is to serve Him. So they had a spiritual motive. It was pure in heart to help those in need. It wasn't forced. Number two, it was done voluntarily. No compulsion, no guilt trip. Well, look what I did. Why aren't you doing that? You ever have that thrown on you? That happens in the church too, right? That's why our tithing box is in the back. And as the Lord puts on your heart to give and support the church, this doesn't happen without your support. And nobody sees it, and nobody knows who gave or how much you gave. There's no names on the windows of who donated something. There's no plaques that are going to happen. You're not going to be invited up. Why? It's between you and the Lord. That's right. And so number three, it was done in order to meet the needs, not their desired wants, right? So that no one would lack. And what a great thing. Could that happen in the church today? Well, probably not. The church is not the same position as it was then. It was smaller, right? But now there's many people in need. So it introduces us to an important figure, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And remember the following facts as we get into chapter 5. He was an encourager, the evidence in Paul's life. We tend to underestimate the need for encouragement. How many need encouragement this morning? I need encouragement. Encourage me. Smile when I talk, right? We need encouragement because everything around us is drawing us down, trying to discourage us, right? The world wants to discourage, and so we're supposed to encourage one another. You know, it's great to come to church. You may say, well, does anybody know I'm here? Oh, yeah, smile at somebody. They'll remember you. And when they show up here, hey, that person's always there. I really don't know them yet, but I'm happy they're here. That's encouraging. Very encouraging. Number two, he was a Levite. He was familiar with the scriptures, the priestly line. Number three, he was from Cyprus. He was familiar with the Gentile culture. And finally, number four, he was others-oriented, others-centered. He sold things that he had to help those in need. To provide contrast to the examples that we're going to see in chapter 5. So up until now, listen, Satan has attacked from outside of the church. Attacked individuals, attacked through government. And this persecution only caused the message of the church to grow. What happened? Jesus, well, it'll get on in the rest of Acts, but here's the gist of this. Jesus had told them to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. Well, they didn't go. They didn't go out into all the world until, listen, the persecution came. And God used that persecution, listen, to drive them out to do what he told them to do. And so sometimes persecution God will use to make something happen. Maybe it'll cause you to change churches. Hopefully not this church. But perhaps there may have been something going on somewhere else, and you say, you know what? I'm going to try a new church. Satan was attacking outside. The church became organized and united. Listen, he doesn't want unity, right? He wants division. And united one another in the word. And so Satan now changes his strategy. He begins to attack from within the church. Let's read it. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. And so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. This is in the beginning of the church. Judgment happens right up front. It says in verse 1, it starts with, but a certain man. This is in contrast to Barnabas' example. Ananias and Sapphira, believers, part of the church, sold their possessions. It was land. Three different men named Ananias in the book of Acts. So this guy dies. He doesn't come alive later on. There's three different guys. One in this chapter. Then the disciples who greeted Saul at Tarsus in chapter 9. And then a high priest who tries Paul in chapter 23. So they differ from Barnabas because they kept back part of the proceeds. They brought a certain part. Now, what's wrong with us? It's about the attitude. They lied. Not the amount that was, they could have kept it all. They didn't even have to give any of it. Or even if they kept half of it, they didn't have to lie. And so they're faking their spirituality. They're being hypocrites, pretending to give their all, but not. Have you ever felt like a hypocrite when you've prayed or you sang to the Lord? I give my all to the Lord. And you're singing these songs, and then you get these thoughts, oh man, no, I'm not. But why does that conviction come? That conviction comes so that we say, oh Lord, help me to give you my all. Holy Spirit, fill me. I don't want to be that man who does one thing and says another. Right? So they could have kept it all, but they didn't. So it seems insignificant, but listen, it's the root of corruption that happens. And watch what happens. Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart? In other words, he's not demon-possessed, but he's certainly demon-influenced or inspired. And we see the gift operating here, the gift of the word of knowledge. How did Peter know? The Holy Spirit told him. The Holy Spirit gave him this wisdom and understanding. And it authenticated in 1 Corinthians 12:8. It was given by the Spirit. It was a gifting. God had called him, and God had equipped him. And so right up front, as the church begins to grow, God wants to prove a point that he sees and knows everything, even though we may be trying to fool other people. Peter knows something he naturally could not. And he lies to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit informs Peter. So no one is forced to sell anything, as we talked about, but he chose to do this. You've chosen to do this wrong your way. You have not lied to men, but to God. So he lies to the Holy Spirit. Ananias hears this, and the results of that, and he drops dead, right? We see this. The results of that is great fear came upon all those who heard these things. God sees everything we do, and he sees everything we don't do. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how many times this week alone we have failed, and yet he still loves us. He wanted us to be with him forever in heaven. But sin is what would keep us from that happening. And so he paid the penalty for our sin through his son Jesus, who came and died on the cross so that we, listen, that we could live forever. Again, it's not because we're so good. Oh, I picked the best. No. It's not because we're so good. It's because he's so good. He's so good. And listen, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrows, no more regrets. How many have regrets? Ever look back and say, man, I wish I never said that. I wish I never did that. I wish I would have done something better. We all do. But listen, the good news, in heaven, there are no scars. Only on the hands who hold us. That's in a song. Isn't that beautiful? There are no scars in heaven. Only on the hands of the one who holds us, and that's Jesus Christ. And that awaits us. He's coming again. He's coming to bring us to be with him. And he's going to judge the earth as he said he would. But as a church, listen, he wants us to walk with pure hearts and pure hands, not deceptive. And this is what's happening right out front. Satan begins to tempt this man. He listens, and then it snowballs because he's not the only one involved in this. Let's go on. 3 hours, 3 hours later. Now, about 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what happened, that's probably a miracle right there, right? There was no gossip. Nobody called her on her cell phone. Hey, you should see what just happened, right? That was funny. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at her feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her with her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. The husband lied, causes the wife to conspire. And so Satan is showing up in the church. And God judges right here. They're dead physically. Now, whether they're born again believers, I don't know that. We would assume, but we don't know. But God judges, and great fear came up. God, we fear the Lord because he tells us, don't fear men, right, who can kill the body, but fear the one who can not only kill the body, but then cast it in eternal fire. This is what he says. And so we want to fear the Lord because he's going to judge. Now, for the believer, we're not judged unto condemnation, but we'll be rewarded for our gifts. Here, the worst thing in the world we want is for sin to come into the church. Well, We're all sinners, Pastor. No, I understand that. I'm one of them. I'm probably the chief one in here because I know the word. But my heart is to serve God. I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins and your sins, if you're a redeemed, born-again believer, will never be remembered no more. Ever. Your sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered no more. Who wants you to remember them? Satan wants you to remember them. He'll keep bringing them up. That's where that regret comes, right? You've already asked the Lord, forgive me, Lord, and he did, and you keep thinking of it. Oh, I wish this and that. No. So there's a contrast. There's a battle happening. And so he wants the church to know that he knows, even though everybody else didn't know what happened. Peter had no clue. The Holy Spirit told him. God had gifted him to have this insight, a word of knowledge. And they lied. They conspired. And the prophecy comes to pass. She lies. She follows the example of her husband. Peter accuses her of testing or tempting the Holy Spirit, presuming on the Spirit's patience, right? And he informs her that she's a widow and then prophesies that she's going to die. And she drops dead. How many want to sign up for that ministry? You're not going to be very popular, right? But we have a testimony of the future. We know the future. We can proclaim, without the blood of Jesus cleansing your sins, you will die eternal death in hellfire. That's why Jesus had to come. We can also proclaim, the good news is that he paid the penalty for me so that I don't have to. Wow. Isn't that great? Not because I'm so good, because he's so good. Not because I'm so great, because I'm not. He is so great. And great fear fell upon the church. You know, Sapphira's name means grace and beauty. And really, the lesson here is hypocrisy will rob you of your grace and beauty. What are they going to be named of now? Right? Listen, 3 years, Judas followed Christ. He could have repented. The Lord knew he wouldn't, and it was prophesied what would happen. But what a terrible way to finish, right? We want to finish well. We want to finish our walk with the Lord well. We don't want to serve the Lord for years and then find out we were imposters. Or then all of a sudden we were tempted and we're running out the back door with the church's loot. We don't want to do that. We want to finish well. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. So what's happening here in the church in the beginning? Well, the results we need to reemphasize. Great fear came upon all the church. Every pastor will stand before the Lord. And the Bible says those who teach will be held at a higher standard of judgment. Did I teach the scriptures? I will answer to the king. I'm representing the king's word here. He has called me to do such a thing. Every one of us will stand before the Lord. These people in governing authorities today, Putin, will answer for every life that has been taken. We all will stand before the Lord. The fear is that I failed the Lord. My fear is that I wasn't faithful. You know, it's come a point in time because the church grows. I've looked at some pictures of other locations. And as a small church, we've moved, I think we're at like 7 times in 16 years. That's a lot. You lose people everywhere you go. But we don't have money to buy a church, and so we've been renting. And there were times where we were at a place called Rocket Town. It was had all the bling and everything to it. And the church was full. And then we moved to a smaller church, and it wasn't as big. People come and go. Things happen, and you look back and say, wow, we're not as big as we were, or such. Have we failed? But I've come to the point to know, and I know this, but he's reminding me, is I have an audience of one, and it is Jesus Christ. He's listening. Am I faithful to the text? Now, I may give the illustrations that you may like or not like or disagree with, but I'm going to be faithful to the text so that we know. Great fear fell upon them. We will tremble in his presence because we will fall to our knees and worship him, not in fear, but in adoration. And the crowns and the gifts that we are given because of our works, we will give them back to him. We're not even worthy of that. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. We will be with the Lord of Lords. He has no equal. He is totally sovereign. Every star and every planet is held in place by the one who died for you, by the one who has called you his friend.